From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, September 29th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how often Black drivers are racially profiled during traffic stops and what is being done to prevent this in Illinois. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Illinois Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia says with only 2 days left to pass a spending plan, a federal government shutdown is highly likely. Mawa Iqbal has more.
If Congress doesn't pass something by October 1st, several agencies and programs will stop working. This includes nutritional and early childhood services for lower-income families. Over 42,000 federal employees in Illinois would either have to leave or work without pay. Garcia says this is all due to Republican infighting.
Federal agencies are not allowed to respond while we're in a shutdown. That's why we're trying to avert it, but reason doesn't seem to prevail over some of our colleagues.
The spending bills have been stonewalled by a group of far-right House Republicans who are pushing for steep budget cuts and tighter restrictions on immigration. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
As migrants continue arriving in Chicago, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the state has already and will continue to help. He says the state has spent hundreds of millions of dollars so far on services for migrants, on top of money the city is spending. And Pritzker says officials won't be able to address concerns around poor living conditions and overcrowding by simply sending people downstate.
When you think about, you know, well, let's just move them into the wide open spaces of rural Illinois, that's not going to happen because these folks do need help. And those kids need to go to schools, and some of those schools are not big enough to be able to handle the number of kids.
Several local governments, including Normal, Peoria, and Madison County in the St. Louis area, had discussions around this time last year about accepting migrants, but none did. University of Illinois police recently reported three incidents of sexual extortion affecting students. The scams occurred this month over three consecutive days. Illinois Student Newsroom's Alyssa Eaton reports the perpetrators threatened to publish sexually explicit videos or photos of the students.
The students had engaged in conversations with unknown individuals on Instagram. That's according to the campus safety notice. In two of the incidents, perpetrators demanded money. University Police spokesman Pat Wade says the three events are unrelated, but crimes like these are on the rise at U of I.
I would say within the past 2 or 3 years, we've really started to see the number of incidents of this type of sexual extortion pick up.
Wade says the best way to prevent these crimes is to be educated about internet safety and to be cautious of who you engage with online. I'm Alyssa Eaton, Illinois Student Newsroom.
As temperatures continue to climb year after year, engineers and architects are seeing flaws in building codes. Holly Edgel is the journalist who broke this story. She told the 21st show the way some homes are constructed is putting people's lives at risk.
In the Midwest, we have old brick homes. Here in St. Louis, it seems like almost everything is made of brick. And that traps heat. It's great to keep in heat, you know, keep you warm in the winter, but not great, you know, for hot temperatures.
She says heat is not just about discomfort. High temperatures are a health concern that can be fatal. By 2053, more than 1,000 counties, including many in Illinois, are expected to reach temperatures that feel like 125 degrees Fahrenheit. Still to come, we'll learn more about what is being done to prevent racial profiling during traffic stops in Illinois. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In season 2 of the hit British mystery series Professor T, academic Jasper Tempest and the team return to confront a series of crimes, including a mysterious fire in a student block and the tragic murder of an entire family. Meanwhile, Professor T navigates conflicts with multiple women, including his mother, his therapist, and the love of his life. Friends of WILL can stream all 6 episodes of season 2 right now and catch up on season 1 with WILL Passport. Find out more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Last year, Black drivers were the subjects in 30% of traffic stops in Illinois, almost double the percentage it was nearly two decades ago. That's according to an investigation by WBEZ and the Investigative Project on Race and Equity. Many Black drivers are left questioning if a routine run to the store or picking up their child from school could lead to being stopped by police. Michael Liptrot shares some of their stories and how some are fighting racial profiling in Illinois.
On a Saturday morning in September, I set out for the west side of Chicago to the Austin neighborhood. As I approached the intersection of Madison and Laramie, I saw a police traffic stop taking place. It was just past 11 a.m. Two officers speaking with a Black woman in a cream-colored Chevy Impala. Within minutes, another stop happened. A different pair of officers pulled over two Black men in a dark-colored sedan. Before I could tell the make and model, the stop was over. In the roughly 25 minutes I sat in the area, I saw five stops, either at the intersection of Madison and Laramie or a block away. All but one was over as fast as it started, with no visible ticket being given to the drivers. This intersection specifically is known for police traffic stops. At least that's what people told me at the nearby car wash. I went to a Buddy Bear car wash where it's packed with cars, mostly Black and Latino drivers wiping down their rides to start the weekend. It's here I meet Edward Robinson. As he's wiping down his green Mini Cooper, Robinson tells me about being stopped the previous day as he picked his son up from school. He's dealt with police stopping him for years.
They want to immediately search the car. You find no gun and then you let me go, right? No real purpose for the traffic stop.
Bernie Dockery has also felt targeted by police. He is from North Lawndale and sees stops regularly on his commute through Austin.
I see them every morning. When I come on my way to work, they have at least 4 to 5 people pulled over every morning.
Larry Perry lives in the area and also regularly sees stops in the area. He recounts being stopped nearby at Independence and Roosevelt.
They said it was because my windows were tinted. After they saw that, they supposedly took my driver's license and ran a check, but I know they didn't run a check. They just wanted to look in the back of my car, and they let me go.
Over half the stops of Black drivers across the state were for non-moving violations, such as talking on the phone, not wearing a seatbelt, or driving with an expired tag. The number of Black drivers let go with a warning from a non-moving violation in 2022 was 5 times more than it was in 2004. Many are asking what these stops mean. The ACLU of Illinois alleges these traffic stops aren't really about traffic, but rather police abusing their power and violating the civil rights of Black and Latino drivers. Attorney Joshua Levin says these stops are a pretext for something else.
The officer's true reason is to engage in a fishing expedition based largely on racial stereotypes, false racial stereotypes, that Black and Latino drivers are more likely to have something criminal going on in their car.
These pretextual stops are the focus of an ACLU of Illinois lawsuit filed this summer against the Chicago Police Department. Levin says the plaintiffs use different routes for daily activities like going to work, visiting loved ones, or picking up a child from school just to escape potentially being stopped by police. Craig Futterman is the director of the UChicago Civil Rights and Police Accountability Board and sees these disparities in traffic stops. This echoes a familiar procedure of stopping mass numbers of minorities in search of illegal items.
Chicago moved then from a racist strategy of stopping and frisking people on the street to an equally racist strategy of substituting car stops for traffic stops and targeting Black and brown communities, particularly targeting folks on the South and West sides.
Throughout our reporting, WBEZ and the Investigative Project on Race and Equity contacted numerous government agencies about our findings. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson issued a statement offering his dismay about the continuation of such disparities across the city, particularly in his Austin community. He wants the Chicago Police Department to study the disparities, be more transparent about its traffic stop policies, and implement fair policing models. State Rep. LaShawn Ford also says studying the data can help lawmakers determine when strategies to fight racial profiling are having the desired positive effect.
Many times we pass public policy and we just leave it, and we leave it to the agencies that's supposed to carry it out. Now, believe it or not, we're going to be able to point to your work and say, look, what did you guys do? How did you do it? And then we could provide incentive for police forces to do the right thing.
Ford is doing his part to help reduce pretextual stops in hopes of repairing the damage he says they've caused in the relationship between communities of color and law enforcement. Ford and Illinois Secretary of State Alexei Janulius introduced legislation in February to end the practice of police stopping motorists for items hanging from their rearview mirror, such as air fresheners. The bill was signed into law in June. Long before the state started collecting traffic stop data, David Lowry has been fighting racial profiling where he lives in southwest suburban Evergreen Park.
There's the police station right there.
Lowry is the CEO of the Living and Driving While Black Foundation. I went on a ride-along with Lowry through areas where he has both witnessed and experienced traffic stops in the village. First, we rode down Ketzi. The Evergreen Park Police Station is just down the street from where Lowry routinely sees officers making traffic stops.
In this area between Ketzi and 95th, was a lot of stops was made right through here.
Soon, we get to a nearby mall, where Lowry often sees black motorists being stopped, both coming to and leaving the mall.
And that's how the technique that they were using.
His experiences and hearing the experiences of others led him to start his foundation, which reviews racial profiling complaints, provides legal referrals, and educates drivers on their constitutional rights.
We started doing our own investigations because I wanted to prove that racial profiling in Evergreen Park is a habit that officers use to try to find other things besides a broken tail light or a fading turn signal. They were looking for either drugs or guns or whatever, but it was never about a traffic stop.
Laws intended to address racial profiling through data collection have helped reveal the glaring disparities, but very deliberate steps have to be taken to address those inequities. While some offer platitudes about racial profiling, Lowry and others are actually seeking justice and fighting for reform. Michael Liptrot.
And finally, in your forecast, today will become mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Mawa Iqbal, Alyssa Eaton, May Antar, and Michael Liptrot. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.